Philippians chapter 1, let's read from verse 12. At the end of the sermon, we are going to sing Amazing Grace, and the new version, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. So hopefully my prayer is that after the sermon, you can echo what Paul is saying when we sing that song, My Chains Are Gone. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether in life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for the progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have, just so far.
Morning, everyone. It's good to see you all, and see some visitors. Welcome. I hope that you will enjoy your time with us this morning further as we've been singing God's praises. And you should have an outline in front of you. And every year, I am drawn to the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians in the beginning of the year like a magnet. It's one of those incredible letters that is so full of life and understanding and need. But I want to start off by the obvious question. So any resolutions you've made, are you guys making resolutions? Now, I want you to look at that little picture there from Calvin and Hobbes, the greatest theologian ever. I used it last year when we started a series, a bit later in January, but I thought I'll use it this year, the beginning. It is quite interesting, isn't it? He's actually highlighted, I didn't highlight, he highlighted some of the words. He says, resolutions? Me? Just what are you implying, that I need to change? Well, buddy, as far as I'm concerned, I'm perfect the way I am. Isn't that magnificent theology? And I take it the theology really doesn't come through what Calvin is saying, but Hobbes' expression on his face. You thought that Calvin was being theological. It was actually Hobbes that is being theological. So let me just put your mind at ease, maybe, and maybe upset you. Since it is the new year, we'll try and do both, because that's what seems to happen to life. If you don't have resolutions, you are probably arrogant. Or you're just cynical. Because do you really want to tell me you don't need to change?
Interesting, isn't it?
Do you honestly look yourself in the mirror and you tell yourself, I don't need to resolve to change anything about my life? You'll get the Hobbes' expression. So that's interesting, isn't it? To have resolutions means I am aware that I am not what I am supposed to be. I maybe think things, I maybe long for things, I maybe understand things, but I am not quite there yet, and so I resolve to try and work on those things. Because I am not happy in one sense with who I am. Well, Calvin is very happy with who he is, but I find it quite interesting that it ends on the last two words, I am. There's only one being that can say that, and that is God himself. God doesn't have to resolve to do anything to change himself because he's the only one who's perfect. Every one of else of us needs to make some resolution. So I hope that you have made some resolutions or that you will fire them up. Maybe the season is a bit ridiculous and we kind of get annoyed with it. But I hope that you wake up every single morning of your life and you resolve to do something. So what I want to do in the next couple of weeks until we kind of find our feet, I know some people are starting to work tomorrow. Most people seem to start to work the week after that. And then life gets really busy. So in the next week or two or whatever, until kind of life starts to happen again, I thought we'll look at this whole idea of some resolutions and how we can do things. Because here is the funny thing. If you don't aim at something, I promise you, you're going to be successful at hitting it. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it. You'll get nothing. And so I want to encourage you to think about what are you resolving to change and what are you resolving to do. Now, I'm picking up on Paul here in Philippians because Paul keeps on telling us that we need to follow him as he follows Christ. And I want us just to play a little bit with this very specific verse in this, and it may help you. So if you are here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then I hope that you will get some glimpse of why it is so incredible to see what Paul is saying about him, how important Christ is to his life, and how he resolves, how he have an eager hope and expectation. And we're going to look at all of these phrases in this section so that you will get stirred up. If you are a Christian, I hope you wake up from your slumber and from the funny idea that you think you're right, and that you will develop a healthy dislike with yourself so that you may turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and that you may find him. So that's my hope. I hope to do that very briefly this morning. I hope not to be too long. As we just look at specifically, I want you to pick up in the end of verse 18. The way that it's the verse numbers have been set in makes it a little bit difficult. But I want you to pick up the end of verse 18 and verse 19, running to verse 20. So I'm going to read that again for you, because this is Paul's resolution. So just very quickly, Paul is in prison. He's there unfairly. I'm sure that was not his dream for the year that kind of was ahead of him. He's writing to the Philippian church to encourage them and to tell them, I know that you are worried about me, but I want to tell you that I am actually okay, and I'm thankful that you're worried about me, but I am fine just as I am, because I've learned to be content in every single situation that I am in, and I have this one desire for myself, and I have this one desire for the world, and that is that I will, in my body, live the gospel, and that the gospel will go out into the world, and that it will be preached. So I don't want to get into all the details. You can go and read how he sets that out. But here he basically says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers, he's referring to them, and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. You're going to ask some questions just now. Then he says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What an incredible statement that is. So just think about it. What is your ego hope and expectation for the year? It's funny, you can see it in two ways. See carefully what Paul says. He says, I know that through your prayers and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we'll come back to that just now. He says, what happened to me, I'm in jail for the gospel, unfairly treated, trumped up charges. Some people wanted me to bribe them to get me free. I wouldn't bribe them. So eventually I called on the emperor, and I'm in jail for the gospel. All unfair. I've been treated unfairly, and while I'm being treated unfairly, there are even Christians out there that are trying to make my life difficult. But I want you to know that through your prayers and the gift of the Spirit, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And then he says, my eager expectation and hope. So here's two things. What are your eager expectations and hope for the year? It's a good question to ask yourself. Or you can flip it around and ask, what do you want to be delivered from? The one is almost the negative and the other one's a positive. What do you want to be delivered from? And what is it that you eagerly expect and hope will happen? Interesting question, isn't it? You actually need to have a pen. You shouldn't look at me. You now should look into your heart and write down, what is it that you would really love to be delivered from? What is it that you feel is squeezing you? A marriage. Not being married. Finances, politics, sickness. What is it that you would really love to be delivered from? And on the positive side, what is it that you eagerly hope and expect? It's an interesting word, eagerly. Not just every now and again when I think of it. What is it that's in your heart driving you? What do you really want from life? What do you want this year to be? What is it that you... What would... In the end of this year, you would be able to say, yes, this year I was delivered from these things and my ego, hope, and expectations has been met. Is it possible to even think of that? To even long for that? But I want you to see how interestingly Paul puts it here, because his desire for deliverance is so very different from what we would tend to think it would be, and his ego, hope, and expectation is so very different from what we would normally think. Listen to what he says. Listen carefully. He says, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Then what is that? He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. What does he want to be delivered from? From shame, of not glorifying Jesus Christ. What do you want to be delivered from? From the shame that in this context that I find myself in, I have managed not to go against the Lord Jesus Christ. I've managed to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting. Way of looking at deliverance, isn't it? Interesting. What is it that you hope will happen to your life? What is it that you want to achieve? Paul says, the thing that I want to achieve is I want to be able to not be ashamed and yet have the sufficient courage to glorify Christ now, while I'm in jail, against my will, against the fairness of life. I want to glorify him there, in my body. Very interesting language. Not just in my spirit, not in my mind, not in my heart, in my body. Very interesting, isn't it? Why would say body? So you almost need to take each one of these phrases and ask yourself, what on earth is he talking about? He says, I want to live a life. My body must reflect the glory of someone devoted to Jesus Christ. That's what I want. If I can have that, then I've been delivered. Then the greatest hope and expectation that I have has been fulfilled. As I do it now. And that's a difficult one, isn't it? the now in that verse. So how does that compare to your desire for deliverance and your expectation for life? See, there's the funny thing that, as JJ has been saying all over and over and over again, that the incredible, wonderful thing is that God frees us up when we come to Christ to know Him and to experience Him and to be in fellowship with Him at all times. We get this enormous gift that God says, I want you at all times to know me and to experience me and to make me known. That is your freedom. That is your life. That is why I created you. That's why I made you. That's why I redeemed you. That is where I'm going with you. And Paul says, that's what I want. I want to be able to stand one day before Christ and be able to say to him, Lord, I thank you that you've delivered me from my small world, my low aim, to this enormous gift that you've actually opened up for me. I want to be able to say that I've glorified you, I bring honor to your name, obedience to you, thankfulness to you, praise to you, now, as I always do. Now that now is a difficult one, isn't it? Where do you find yourself now? So when you do this and this and this, then you will worship God. That's what I tend to think. If God gives me this and this and this and this, then I will worship Him. Paul says, no. I want to glorify Christ now. Right now. I have already received everything I need to glorify Him right now. Not wait until I come out of jail. Not wait until life becomes fair. No, wait until everybody likes me or everybody's on my side. He says, now, I'm not concerned with those things per se. My concern is that right now, I will be glorifying Christ. As I always seek to glorify Christ. Isn't that incredible? Do you see that as freedom? The freedom of actually being able to be more in awe of God right now than anything else. To enjoy the fact that He's given you right now to glorify Him. To know that we've been saying He's sovereign over us. He's actually worked out lives that I am exactly where I am now so that I can know the value of who He is right now and give thanks and glory and obedience to Him right now. That is the freedom that God is desiring for us to have. And that's, I take it, what Paul is such a great example for us. And he says, that's what my desire is. Right now, that's what I want. I want courage, and I want to not be ashamed that I have thought this situation is more difficult, more complicated, more scary than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my everything, and I give myself to Him. I praise Him. I honor Him. I obey Him. And the rest of Philippians kind of works it all out, but it's incredible, isn't it? What do you want for this year? God is with us all the time. He is for us all the time in His Son. He is even in us all the time by His Spirit. And He says, what I want for you is to be for me at every moment so that you can be with me at every moment and to eternity. That's what I want for you. What do you want? See, what are you resolved to aim at? What you aim at, what you try and hit. If you aim at nothing, you're definitely not going to hit it. You're not necessarily going to hit what you aim at. But if you don't aim at all, you will not hit it at all. And so Paul is saying this incredible simple thing, but it's so profound. He says, I want to bring glory to Christ. I want to show that Christ is my greatest value. So when he talks about the body, take maybe the easiest way to try and explain that, what he's really after, is the fullness of the freedom that God offers us in Christ Jesus. So when you go to, for instance, to Mark 12, and he talks about what is the great commandment, we all know it all by heart, we say, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength. That is all of you. So I love God with all my heart. I have worked out that He's the greatest gift of the greatest value that my heart can ever aspire to. And I have been thinking through in my mind how that is true. So sometimes you have a value that you're not aware of because you haven't thought about it. He says, no, I don't want to only worship God with my heart. I want to worship Him with my mind. I want to know why Christ is so valuable so that I can actually talk to myself and tell myself that and tell others around me about that. But I don't want to stop just with my mind. I want to love Him with my soul. That is with my desire for life. That's what your soul is all about. Your soul wants to have life. I want to love Him with my heart, with the center of my being, with the way I think and evaluate things and go through things. And I want to love Him with my soul, with my very life, and with my strength, which is really your body. I want to never settle until my body is in obedience to my soul, my desire for life, to my mind, my ability to think, and to my heart, my ability to value. That is what Paul is after. So he's not saying, I know I should love Jesus Christ. That is maybe communicating with your heart, and it maybe is communicating through your mind. Paul says, I'm not happy with that. I want my body to express in obedience what my heart and my mind and my soul is all about. I'm not going to rest and give myself a break, in one sense, until that's happened. Isn't that amazing? Imagine you know you shouldn't only love the person sitting next to you, but you actually love them through acts and through words. Not just with intention, but through actually behavior. See, that's what Paul is talking about. He's saying, I don't want to love God with my intentions. I don't want to bring glory to Him with my mind. Yes, I want to bring glory to Him, but I want it to come to my body, that in my body I'm glorifying Him. I'm obeying Him right at that moment when I need to act. That's where I want to go. That is my deliverance. When sin and selfishness no longer has a say about how I conduct myself. An incredible thought, isn't it? Do you see that as freedom? Is that what you eagerly long and hope will happen? And he says here, I know that it will happen. Isn't that weird? He longs for it to happen. He says, this is what I'm living for. And he says, I know that as you pray for me and as the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ enables me, that will happen. So he says, I know that God has already given me everything I need. The weirdest thing is He's given me you. And He's given me His Spirit. And as you pray for me and as the Spirit works, that is what's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I've got certain hope. I know for sure it's going to happen. As you guys keep on praying for me and as the Spirit keeps on working in me, that is where the Spirit is working towards. The Spirit is always working so that in my entire being, I may actually only have glory for Christ. That I will worship Him. And in this context, which is really weird if you read the whole Philippian letter, it is rejoicing. To worship Jesus Christ is to rejoice in Christ no matter your state in life. That is part of it. Isn't that amazing? Rejoice always. I say again, rejoice. When? Always. Now as always. Paul says, that is the goal of the Christian life. So if you are a Christian and you don't have this goal, may I encourage you to really go and have a look and to see if you're a Christian. If your goal is not to bring glory to Christ through your very being and your life, you've got to ask yourself if you're a Christian. You may just live being out of step with the Spirit. You may just have grieved the Spirit. You may have done all sorts of things. But let me just encourage you that in one sense, here's the good and the bad news. This is the goal of the Christian life. This is what Christ came to save you for. He's come to save you from yourself, for Him, so that in everything it won't be about you and your plans, but about him and his plans. So Paul says, I'm in jail unfairly, but I rejoice because the gospel is going out. I would prefer not to be here, but it's all right. Because God is using me at this point in this way to bring glory to himself. And I want to not only talk about it, my whole being must show it. That's my desire. That's my concern. So here's a real challenge for us, isn't it? In your trying to live life, what is it that you're aiming at? Always a good question to ask yourself. What am I truly aiming at? Where is my heart? Where is my mind? Where is my soul? Where is my body? Because your body will tell you where you are, as well as your mind and your soul and your heart. You can't ever separate those things from one another. So if my body is doing something that my mind doesn't agree with, then I know I've got a problem, Houston. I am divided against myself. And in one sense, every house divided against itself cannot stand. And so Paul says, that's why I'm desiring more than anything else that I will bring glory to God right here, right now. And that's the great challenge, I take it, for us. And this is what I want you to do for me, what the Philippians were doing for Paul, and I will try and do for you as well. And he says, I know that through your prayers and the gift of the Holy Spirit, I will be delivered. So that's my hope for myself and for you this year, that you will be delivered. Delivered from living at odds with yourself as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Delivered to worship God entirely with your heart and your mind and your soul and your body more and more. And he says this, I'm going to stay. I would rather go with Jesus and be with him, but I think it's better if I stay for your behalf so that I may encourage you in faith and joy with your walk with God. I'm going to keep on reminding you of this. That's what I want to do with you, and I want you to do it with me. So yeah, I guess it's a very simple challenge this morning. What is it that you eagerly hope and expect? What does your mind spin about when you have time to think? What are you telling yourself when you are, you know, have a moment, or when you don't have a moment? Is it, in one sense, to say, well, since God has started a new work in me through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has promised to finish that work one day, I am also going to give myself with the same intensity to this job that God has given to me. That's what he's saying. That's why he says, I know. How does he know? He knows because he says, God has started a new work in you, and he will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. I know that, he says. That's what God is like. God doesn't start something and give up. Now, we are in New Year's resolution time. How many of you have kept the resolutions you've done in the past? See, we are not like God. I need God to enable me to become like God. I need the Spirit to enable me to glorify Christ. I can't do it on my own. And I need your prayers. So when we pray for one another, when we pray for people, what are we praying for? Paul says, well, here's the one fundamental thing you need to pray for. That they will come to know Christ. And that having come to know Christ, they will want to know him fully and express the wonder of his glory fully in every moment, especially now. So I'm not sure what's your now. What is the now you find yourself in right now? Have you thought about, have you longed for, have you valued, and have you expressed your thankfulness and amazement and glory for Jesus Christ? God has placed you exactly where you are right now with the exact people that you are right now with, in the exact country you are right now with the exact government over you that you have now with the exact physical condition you are in right now. so that you can evaluate what is it that really drives you. Did you know that? That's what God is after. He wants you to recognize that no matter where you are, which He has ordained sovereignly over your life, He wants you to choose Him as your greatest value right now. And to think it through until you get it. And to long for it so that you will show it in your life. That's what He wants, because then you're free. Then you have a freedom that actually will blow your mind, will give you joy, and you will be able to rejoice. That's what He's saying. That's Paul says, that's my desire for myself. And in one sense, he's saying, that's the desire that you should have for yourself. So I got the title actually there from verse 27. Whatever happens. If you think into this year, what do you think can happen this year? Just think about it. What are the things that you hope will happen? What are the things you dread will happen? Do you know that in Christ Jesus, God has given you the ability to rejoice and to have glory and to have freedom no matter what happens? But unless you practice it now, you're most likely not going to do it tomorrow or the week or 6 months later. See how interesting it is. If I don't say, Lord, right now, what is it in my heart and in my soul and in my mind and in my body that is not glorifying to you right now? Show me. What is it that I fear or value more than you? Help me to sort out what is going on inside myself so that I can recognize that in you I have everything I need for life and eternity. And let me choose you with my will. Because God works in us both to will and to act according to His good purposes and pleasure. That's why it's so important to use this, maybe this next week. Maybe you want to spend the next week just thinking about it. Just take that verse and just go through it again. Just sit there. So, as you know by now, my greatest job, I think, is to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. But to proclaim Him in such a way that I do it slowly, so that you can hear. We are very quick. I've got this problem. I suffer from impatience. And God is slowing down my life deliberately. And I find it deadly. And He says, that's good. So that I can slow down and not get excited about my excitement. Not get excited about my hopes or my dreams. But that I will get excited about Him right now. Because eternal life starts right now through Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. And then it runs on into eternity. Isn't that amazing? So you are going to have to pray that I'll become more patient. And that I will work out with my heart and my mind and my soul and my body, how can I bring glory to Christ right now when somebody criticizes my sermons? And glorify Christ when somebody doesn't. And when we have another economic meltdown. What do I value most? God, You have given me in Christ everything I need to bring glory to You right now. That is my freedom. That is my salvation. That is my deliverance. Whatever thought is going occupying your mind right now, He says, I want you to glorify me with that thought. With that desire, with that fear, with that concern, with that dream. Value me more than that, and you will be delivered. You'll be free. So what is your resolution for the year? For your life, really. In one sense, there is no other one, I take it. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says it so well. It says, what is the chief end of man? Why are we here? Well, he says, we are here to glorify God. And I'm changing it slightly, following Piper, by enjoying him forever. What do you enjoy most in life? What do you long for most in life? Paul says, I long to obey Jesus Christ now. That's what I want to be delivered from. From the fear and the concern for anything else, because there's no one that I can compare to him. And then he says, I look at my life, I take all what I've gained in life, and I put it down, and I consider it absolutely, and I'm going to use the Greek translated into slightly English. I consider everything that I have, all the good stuff, not the bad stuff, eh? Philippians chapter 3, all the good things in life. I've calculated them and I've counted them. There's some math teachers here that can help us calculate, right? I've calculated them all up and I've come to this incredible sum. Poo. In comparison to Jesus Christ. It's not poo in and of itself. It is just poo in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. That's the word he uses, dung. I have calculated everything that this world can offer me and everything that I've accomplished. And I've reached this enormous value. Dung. By comparison to knowing Christ in every situation and forever. That's why for him to live is Christ and to die is gain. So what can this year bring? Life? Yes. Death. Yes. What are you going to do? Are you going to seek to glorify Christ? Because you have worked out in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, and with your body that there's no one else worthy living for than for him. That's what I want to encourage you this. So we are going to have to pray for one another. We are going to maybe have to argue with one another when we find that this is not our resolution. This is not what we're aiming at. And every now and again, I get off kilter. I don't know about you. I lose my bearings because life crowds in and the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of this life and the promises of this life kind of cuts in on my entire being and I lose my bearings. So I'm going to need your prayers and I'm going to need your concern and I'm going to need the Holy Spirit in order to help me. Are you willing to allow others to help you? I know you want the Lord to help you, but are you willing to allow others to help you? Are you prepared to allow others to join you on this enormous resolution to bring glory to Christ? And you have the right to point it out to me when I don't. Not because you think you're better than me, but because you love me. And you know, there's nothing more important for my soul than to worship Christ. And the same for me, for you. There is a resolve then to pray for one another to this end. To the end that the Spirit of God desires to deliver us from ourselves. Now, so that we may bring glory to him in whatever this year brings, whether life or death, or everything in between. Let's pray together. Father, we want to admit and confess that we often, like Calvin, really get annoyed when people suggest that we should change. Help us to not be like Calvin, Lord. Help us not to be like what we really are, because we are like that. We really don't like it when we are told that we need to change. And specifically, Lord, you don't only want us to change. You want us to bring glory to you, a very specific change you want. Forgive us, Lord, when in our hearts or when our thoughts, Lord, with our souls and the way we conduct ourselves, we deny the greatest freedom that you've given us in Christ, and that is to bring glory to you. So thank you, Lord, that we can make a covenant in one sense again, afresh this year. That is what we are going to aim at. We want to be able to bring glory to you because you are worthy of all glory and all thanks, all obedience, in all situations, at all times. Lord, we pray that you will help us not to be discouraged, because without your help, we will not do it, for sure. We thank you that we can come to you and that we can know that as we pray for one another and as you give us your Spirit, we will be delivered, increasingly so. So, Father, our prayer really is, in one sense, is that in the next couple of days when we reflect on this, we will start to see what incredible gift it is that you've given us, what incredible freedom it is, and also what kind of a struggle we are going to have to go through, and how we are going to need one another and we are going to need you in order to fulfill this resolution that you have actually planted in our hearts by your Spirit, and that is to bring you glory with our entire being. So thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have had today to hear it. Thank you, Father, that we can wrestle with this and that we can encourage one another to do it tomorrow. Won't you help us? Won't you set us free to indeed value and understand and rejoice and obey the Lord Jesus Christ more and more this year, more than we did last year, more than we did yesterday. So here we are, Lord. Thank you that you are our source of life. Thank you that in Christ you call us to walk with you, to take your hand, to seek you. Thank you that you promise that you will be found by us when we seek you with all our heart. Thank you that in Christ you've already given us everything we need. Help us to understand what that means. Help us, Lord, also to take one another's hands and to walk with one another so that we may keep on having that simple resolve, and that is that we will bring glory to you in everything we do and say. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.